the King. For His returning, we watch and we pray. We will be ready the dawn of that day. We'll join in singing with all the redeemed. The Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus.
It's so good to have each and every one of you here today in worship. We've got what's happening in the life of the church. Our classes have started up. And I want to just say a little plug. I know that that's not the thing right now. We're having Parents Night Out Friday, September 9th, okay? If you're a parent and you need a night out, there you go. But the plug that I want to give is on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock. I'm doing United Methodist Beliefs and a little bit of Asbury history on the last session. So if you miss one, it's okay because I'm doing a different segment each night. But it's Tuesday at 6 o'clock. We're in the small conference room. Because from time to time when you're on a committee, you'll say, well, I didn't know that. Or I didn't know that that's what we did. Or I didn't know that's how that was done. And so I go through the various committees and I talk about the structure of the church. That's just one night that we do that. And then every now and then, I have a question. What direction is the Methodist Church going in? I'd kind of like to talk about that. Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. Sometimes I hear, why do the Methodists baptize this way and all the others do it this way? We're going to talk about that. So why do we have open communion? We're going to talk about that. So anyway, if any of those things interest you or you'd like to know a little bit more, I hope that you'll come at 6 o'clock. I'd love to visit with you on Tuesdays. This will be the second session this Tuesday. Chase is also doing a great job with teaching the prophecy of Jeremiah. So he's meeting in the large conference room also at 6 o'clock. So there's another opportunity. Okay, next commercial. Okay. Oh, this is like so incredible. This is like one of those wonderful miracles. So in the month of September, we have this anonymous, extremely generous member of the church that's going to match our giving toward the van. So that we could actually have a van October 1. Amen? Okay. Did you hear the important word match? That means that we have to give in order for us to get the anonymous gift. So, and I think that's more than fair and more than generous. So, you have envelopes that you see in the bulletins, and they're marked van. And I don't care if it's a dollar or whatever. You know, that's between you and the Lord. But let's give to this. Don't we need a new van? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I think we need a new van a little bit louder than that.
Amen.
So do what you can, please. The Lord bless us. And I've already talked about the fall Bible study, so there you go. I am so glad to see each and every one of you here. I know it's Labor Day weekend. We've got some empty seats, but yours isn't empty. You're here, and somewhere among us is Jesus Christ. He's filling a seat. So I'm excited about that. Why don't you turn around and be sure and write your attendance on the sheets, but turn around and greet one another in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever.
as we look to our prayer list that's printed in the bulletin, I would ask that you add little baby Austin, who is a foster child of Kayla and Joe Stout. He's in Children's Hospital right now, and the family could use some prayers. Let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, as we come to you in this time of prayer, we have so many people on our hearts. Again, we are thinking about people that we've never met, who've lost their loved ones in an earthquake or a recent flood, the outbreak of tornadoes and storms. And Father, that's the wonderful thing about prayer, is we don't have to know someone in order to pray for them and to love them, because we have Jesus. The scripture tells us that the Spirit intercedes for us when we do not know how to pray. So, Father, we know that there are needs out there that we're unaware. But because we lift up these people and these persons before you, your Holy Spirit fills in the gaps for us, and we are grateful. And Father, there are others that we do know their names. We not only know their names, we care very deeply for them. And we lift them up to you as well. We lift up little baby Austin and all children and persons who are confined to hospital days where they might find healing. And we thank you for the gifts of doctors and nurses and procedures and medicines, which are all gifts of your healing Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you're already doing in each and every one of those situations, and we are now covering them with this prayer. Most gracious Lord, we also lift up to those who are struggling looking for a job, struggling looking for meaning in life, struggling looking for a friend, someone that will care deeply for them, looking for peace. Father, we lift up these persons, and may each and every one know that true peace is not dependent on outer circumstances, but begins with you, is sustained through you, and ends with you. And we know that because of Jesus Christ, who loved us so much, he went to the cross for us. And we celebrate that today, not his death, but his glory. Not his persecution, but his victory. And not his final days, but his eternal days. So we focus and we will feast on that gift, that Jesus who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, I just want to invite you to give what you can through your heart, knowing that these gifts will be used for missions and for spreading the gospel to this world. Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, it is with joy that we offer these gifts today. We are so thankful for the abundance that you have poured out upon us, that even if it looks like on a given day we're running a little short, we know that we have so much to be thankful for. And we always have enough to share. That is the good news in Jesus Christ. Bless these givers, bless these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Lord, I
need you.
A new series, Questions of Our Faith. So in doing so, we're going to look today at what is your Holy Communion experience, and let's go to the Word of God and see what the Lord has to say about it, shall we? As we go to 1 Corinthians 11, going to be Looking at verses 20 through 28, may the people of God be richly blessed by this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 20 through 28. When you meet together, it is not the Lord's supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup. After supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The word of God for the people of God. It's Labor Day weekend. Tony and I decided to celebrate. We labored. I labored some 10 or 12 hours out there mowing and, yes, bush hogging. I'm going to get a picture of me bush hogging because there are people that don't believe I know how to do that. And but all day. Oh, okay, I won't do that. And then yesterday, wiping down every baseboard, every fan blade, cleaning and cleaning and cleaning the house. Tony used the day to do some projects. I'm not sure that you can qualify making homemade ice cream as a project, but he did quite a few projects. And I'm going to get this cord out of the way there. Okay. And the reason we did this is we would covet your prayers. House is being shown at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Amen? Okay. I wouldn't work like a dog unless there was a showing this afternoon. So that's my Labor Day story, and I'm sticking to it. Tony is not. Tony's probably eaten half of it by now. Lucky for him, I'm on a diet. So, I was so blessed to be raised as a Christian child in the Methodist Church. My experiences in the Methodist Church as a child were singing in the children's choir, being a handbell ringer in the junior handbell choir, going to Sunday school and church every Sunday faithfully with my grandmother living next door. She took me because Mom and Dad had already gone on to sing in the chancel choir. And, of course, Bible school every summer. But what I remember is also having Holy Communion. And because I was always sitting next to my grandmother in the pew, she and I would always go down together. And as I was a teenager, and still going to Sunday school and church every Sunday and sitting with my grandmother in the pew, I remember so clearly kneeling down and looking at her kneeling and having communion and thinking, there'll be one day when she won't be beside me having communion. And it dawned on me in that moment that I was truly having communion with a saint. I remember that. I remember at Camp Tanico, and later on in college, creative, artistic presentations and participation in Holy Communion. Outside of the church walls, just doing something very creative, a little bit non-traditional, meaningful, but still very relevant, still very sacred. I remember that. Many years later, I remember going to a funeral of a young man. He had been my younger daughter Kara's date and dear friend to her senior prom. And he had passed away in an accident. I remember very clearly that funeral service in the Catholic Church that day, and perhaps every time, I'm not that versed in the Catholic tradition, but the very last act of the funeral service was Holy Communion, and then you literally exited the building. And I remember as we were coming down the aisle and it was our turn to receive Holy Communion, we did this because we were not members of the Catholic Church. I remember that. As we start this series on questions of the faith, I'm hoping that with each question, you look at what your interpretation is, what your experience is, what your tradition has been, and how all that measures up to Scripture. And if you do that, you've done the Wesleyan quadrilateral, and you'll hear about that on Tuesday nights at my class. Seriously, today I want us to think about our Holy Communion experiences. What have they meant to you? How deeply have you felt the Spirit of the Lord when you've had communion? Has it just become kind of a routine, it's the first Sunday of the month kind of thing? And I don't say that in judgment. I'm just asking, where are you? Where are you in your faith journey as you participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion? I've shared with you before that there have been a couple of folks in almost every church that I've served that have indicated to me they do not care to be served communion. They basically have refused to have Holy Communion. That's their prerogative, obviously. But in almost every circumstance, I've always gone to them privately after the service is over and just had a conversation with them to kind of see what's behind that. Because they were active in every other form of worship and ministry they could be. And invariably, it comes back to this. They feel unworthy to receive Holy Communion. They feel like there's a sin that they have committed that just could not possibly be forgiven. So how could they dishonor the table by coming forward as such a sinner? And when I hear that, I immediately say, but we're all sinners. And I feel unworthy to offer Holy Communion. The only merit given to me in serving Holy Communion is I am a cleansed, redeemed sinner. And that the Scriptures give no basis whatsoever for any sin that cannot be forgiven except the one. And that is to deny the existence of God and of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Matthew 12:3, upon confession, all of our sins are forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So this warning in today's text about participating in Holy Communion in an unworthy manner is to remind us the importance of the meal. That it represents this tremendous gift from God. The gift of His Son. Sacrificing His Son. Loving us so much, He gave us His Son. He gave us salvation that came through sacrifice. God was there on Calvary. God saw His Son being tortured. God saw his son's blood being shed. Sometimes we just kind of don't even think about that. Now you think about your child, if you have a child, or a child that you know. And I don't care what age they are. You think about witnessing that with the kind of love that's nothing like our love, but it's like the love of God. And God did that for our salvation, for our redemption, so we could be back into relationship with God, our Father, and his Father. Interesting to note, the passage in 1 Corinthians is the only scripture outside the gospel accounts that gives even the slightest instruction concerning how to partake of Holy Communion. And it was done because Paul was trying to correct the corrupt behavior of a part of the Corinthian church. I remember serving communion once at a church. And on this particular Sunday, I noticed a group of young people coming forward. And I always love to see the children come forward and have communion, and the teenagers as well. I mean, I love seeing everybody come forward for communion, but I just always kind of wonder what's in the minds of the little ones. Do they really understand what they're doing? Do they really understand what it's about, or is it just a snack before they go home? Some children never grow up. I mean, there may be some adults that are feeling the same way. I don't know. But as these were coming down the aisle, I saw this handsome group of young people, teenagers, coming and kneeling down at the prayer rail there, ready to receive communion. And as they were kneeling, they began to giggle. I don't know if the communion rail was about to topple or what, but they got the giggles going on. They couldn't stop. And after a while, it was not only distracting, it was starting to feel a little disheartening. And I wondered, well, you know, maybe they haven't been churched. Maybe they haven't been educated as to what this is really all about. In other words, maybe they don't know any better. Maybe they just got tickled and couldn't stop. But I got the youth minister aside later on in the week, and I said, you know, sometime as you're preparing your Sunday night, you know, studies, why don't you just throw Holy Communion in there and explore that with the young people sometime and get their take on it. And we might get a few insights, and they might learn a few insights. It's just a thought. Something many churches are headed in a grave wrong direction on social issues. Well, this is nothing new. You see, that's what Paul was dealing with. It's called sin, and we're all pretty good at it. But the Apostle Paul had this opportunity that he was going to visit with them and talk to them, shake them out of their arrogance, shake them out of their insensitivity, especially to the poor, shake them out of their divisiveness, shake them out of their rampant sexual immorality, shake them up to see that they were really supposed to be the body of Christ, unified in all ways. But as he's writing this, he says, you know, basically he says this, I'd like to address you as mature Christians, but I can't. You're babes in Christ, fed by milk, because you can't handle solid food. How many of us today, even in this room, are babes in Christ? How many of us are still kind of nursing along with the milk rather than saying, I'm ready for solid food? Are we? Solid food of sacrifice? I mean real sacrifice? Solid food of persecution? Ever been persecuted for your beliefs? Ever? Have you ever been ostracized because of your convictions in Christ? Your practice of faith? Solid food. Celebrations of the Lord's Supper were part of the love feast, the agape meal. And instead of sharing the food that each person had brought, who was able to bring some, instead of sharing so that all the one body of Christ are provided for and have something to eat, those who brought food were gravitating just towards their friends, taking care of the ones that might be in a position to reciprocate later to them. They weren't taking care of the poor. They didn't care for the poor. They didn't care if someone left hungry. In fact, Paul goes on to say, some were drunk, they didn't even notice. This type of behavior was a blatant denial of what the meal was all about, obviously, but also it disrespected everything that Jesus modeled in his lifetime and ministry. To give compassion, to be generous, to serve. And they were taking care of themselves, as we humans are really good at doing. But this meal was to honor Jesus. He was the honoree. And yet their behavior was everything anti-Christ. I mean, Jesus spent his life teaching about love and teaching about sharing and showing about sharing and showing. You're not going to be exalted by trying to be great. You can be exalted when you're humbled, and that's not even on your mind to be great. Because you're humble, that's not on your radar. And so he got down in the posture of a servant at that Last Supper, and he washed the grit, the grime, the dirt, the sweat, crushed seashells and sand, I don't know, but he wiped it all away. And can you see the mouths of the disciples just going? They couldn't believe their master, their teacher, was doing this. But that was the only way he could show them, this is what I'm about. This is what you've been following me for 3 years. This is who I am. This is who you're called to be, a servant. You've been learning for 3 years. Now it's time to be doing. So my friends, if we approach this table, this sacrament, with a proud and unrepentant heart, then we disrespect the table. And we miss the blessing. We turn what could be a blessing into a curse, and we drink God's judgment. But a broken and repentant heart over our own sins, mindful of our mistakes, humbly seeking God's mercy for our sins, receiving God's love and being willing to love others and forgive others, then we receive all the blessings and more. When Holy Communion is received and participated in as Christ intended, you'll know it. You'll feel it. and you'll rise up from the table new, a different person than when you came to the table. This is what Paul is trying to say today. It's all about relationship with God's people and the world he loves, and all the blessings will follow. That's what it was all about. Don't you see? Jesus was all about bringing us back into relationship with God, so that then in the love of God and the grace of Christ, we then can be in relationship with one another in this world. I don't know how more clearly I can say that. That's what it's all about. We were created to be one. We were created to be unified. We were never created to be diversified and all of this other stuff. That's why we say in the liturgy, it's the one body of Christ redeemed in this world to be in one ministry for Christ. None of us deserves the great kindness given to us through the sacrifice of Christ. That's why it's called grace. And that's why it's so amazing, because there's nothing you can do, there's nothing I can do to deserve it. That's why it's so amazing. I want to tell you a story about a woman named Holly, 36-year-old lab assistant. Never been married. Has a 5-year-old son named Jeffrey. She smokes cigarettes and swears she's going to quit. Sometimes she uses bad language and then swears she'll quit that too. She yells when she's stressed to those closest to her, even her son. Sometimes she forgets to say a blessing before she eats, and when she forgets like that, she realizes she hasn't set a very good example for her son. Sometimes she hates her job. I mean, hates it. Dreads getting up in the morning to go to it, and realizes she's not too particularly grateful she's got a job. She occasionally loses patience with her parents, who are getting older and can't help the fact that they can't do what they used to do or remember what they used to remember. Many nights she's just too tired to pray and just falls asleep. So I want to share these words from Holly. These are just a few flaws in my character, some of my daily sins. But if you had known me earlier, you would know I used to be worse than this. But you know what's just awesome? Even with all that's wrong with me, God still loves me. And Jesus is going to take me to heaven one day to be with him. I can say this because a long time ago, a man named Jesus Christ died on a cross on a hill with nails through his hands and feet for me, and for you. Because he forgives my sins. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that is all that God wants, and God knows my heart. He knows how badly I want to do better. And he also knows that in spite of all my faults I still have today, I am better. So if you see someone smoking or drinking or doing any other kind of behavior that is sinful, try not to rush and condemn them. They might actually be in a better place than they used to be. But you can speak to them. Wish them a good day and go ahead and tell them Jesus loves them. And go ahead and tell them you do too. Isn't that the message that God wants us to hear? Indeed, Holly. Indeed. I guess we all see from a different perspective, because we all have different life experiences. We all have different faith experiences, worship experiences. But we all worship the one true God who gave us a gift in the one true Son, Jesus Christ, who is present in this room right now through the Holy Spirit. And this is the one table that has been set for all of us. And it contains the greatest gifts that we'll ever receive, representing a man named Jesus who gave up his body and shed his blood that you and I could be forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we begin the liturgy, just let me give a few words of instruction. In the United Methodist Church, you do not have to be a member in order to receive the elements. This is Christ's table, and you are a child of God, and you are welcome to partake. We also have the gluten-free wafers here for any of you that need to have one of those. And these are the gifts of God through his Son, Jesus, that are offered for you to partake. And as we reach out in the name of Jesus, please notice that there is an offering plate here for any who wish to give to the Community Assistance Fund. We have people from time to time that seek us out, and they need help. And it's your generosity that is able to meet their need. So as we prepare ourselves for Holy Communion, let us do so with a spirit of love. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us join. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks unto you, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, now and forever. Amen. Will those who are assisting me please come forward at this time. Gracious God, we are so thankful for this feast of love and grace. And we know that we have been nourished in our bodies through this food, but we pray that our souls have also been renewed in your spirit so that we can go forward today and share this grace that you've given us so freely to others we meet in this world in the name of Christ. Amen. There are those here today who would like to unite this church in any ways we receive members. If you'd like to come forward and make your profession, if you'd like to do so and renew that profession, we'll begin to pray. And it is my joy to tell you that Debbie Harrington has joined as we unite in this church as our
Splendor of the King. All the earth rejoice.
I just want to thank our celebration singers and band led today by Miss Linda at the keys. We appreciate Valera and Lanier and Alan and Mike, J-Mac, and we've got old Scott on the drums. And Todd joined us today. So we're just blessed. We're very blessed. In Mike's absence, how we have wonderful members of the church to step up, and I'm just so grateful. If you saw someone in the room that you don't quite know, please don't be shy. Asbury's not a shy church. Be sure and reach out to them and say, glad you worshiped with me today, and let's continue that spirit. Please receive the blessing. Oh God, you have been so good to us. You have been present with us today in this Holy Communion, in this worship experience. Be with us now as we go out these doors, that we may bless the world with your Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.